All right, I'd like to welcome everyone tonight, our special guests in the audience. We previously called the June 15th regular meeting to order, so at this point we are to the Pledge of Allegiance, so if everybody would stand and join me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. I would now accept a motion to adopt the agenda for our June 15th, 2023 meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Fine?
Yes. Motion carries. I do not believe we have any public participation. Okay. So next up, the High Point report. There's no report this month. Superintendent's report. Diane.
Thank you. I just have a few things I wanted to review. Remember, during the summer months, I typically don't give an enrollment number because there is a lot of fluctuation. So I thought it was sick to kindergarten and all K. So kindergarten right now is sitting at 392 students across the district. That's up from 359 last year. Alt-K, we have 36 students, and this time last year we had 29. So some larger numbers definitely in K. I also wanted to let you know that we currently have 4 grade levels that are on overflow status. So it would be Northwood 4th grade and Raymond 4th grade. So those buildings in 4th grade are at capacity right now. We will continue to monitor as kids withdraw over the summer as well to see if there's any change. But at this point, if anyone comes to enroll in those grade levels, though, we do have room in Edgewood 4th grade, which will most likely be the 4th grade overflow site. The last week of May, we had admin retreat. We really took a deep dive and focus on the idea of building student agency and that all roads lead to agency and what that looks like in a tier one instructional model. Principals left with a couple, and coaches left with a couple summer reads. They're reading Shift to Student-Led and Visible Learning, both as ways to think about tier one instruction. We also focused on high need targeted goals as we headed into next year. So it was really positive, kind of a heavy lift at times, a lot of thinking, but a great way to kick off our thinking about next school year. Construction, so I had the opportunity to kind of walk through the Edgewood facility yesterday. Pretty exciting. Walls and ceilings are installed, tile work, and the restroom flooring is complete. They were going to start laying carpet in some areas yesterday. There is some delay on the flooring that's in the corridor, but they're not predicting it'll make or delay the overall finish date. So it'll still be in time, aligned with being finished in time for school to start. The overhead garage door has been installed. Casework and furniture are starting to take place next week. Some of the casework is already in some of the rooms, and plumbing as well. All that we have left in terms of inspections will be the final inspection. I think we're on pace probably for July 10th to get that final inspection, probably during that week. Chestnut building is, there's been a lot of action in our building between the parking lot and interior. Door frames have been installed. The interior corridor walls have been installed. Fire rating issues have been resolved and did not make a substantial push on the budget. Inspections are scheduled for next week. Exterior windows and door openings have been framed. The boardroom area, which will house us in the future, is about 90% complete. And then HVAC work continues, and that is looking like it'll be an August finish for that work. The other update I wanted to provide for you is I did send you kind of a preliminary report card update, and that is shifting a little bit as different districts are entering data. The PEI score has shifted a little bit as well. In July, it'll be a better tell. We're not changing too much at this point, and our report card will look pretty much identical as far as rating until last year. I also kind of shared with you highlights that Edgewood made significant gains this year, and it appears that it will be a 5-star building, which was pretty fantastic. And I gave you that comparative analysis too, but we'll do that in July as a more thorough update for you, and where numbers are a little more cemented. Nothing will be final until September, so keep that in mind as well. I also wanted to revisit the contingency plan and kind of where we are. I know I did that last time we were together for our special meeting, but we have had some shifts. We are still at sitting at 30, a net 30 loss of staff members. And right now for salaries, we're setting at a savings of approximately $1.6 million. Now the one thing in our spreadsheet, we are putting placeholders in several positions. So we right now have 7 certified openings and 5 classified openings. So as those positions, we were able to, 3 of them actually were added to the agenda tonight. So as those positions start to be cemented with replacements, we'll have a better feel, but that's where we are as of today. That's all I have.
Okay. Any questions for Diane?
Okay. Do you know, is there a plan for the Edgewood fourth grade teachers to get a preview of the building? And for example, is there a time when the maybe community can come in and take a look at the building?
Yes, we'd like to get a substantial completion date and inspections complete, but we are planning on having a special fourth grade parent night as we lead into the school year. We were hopeful to do it in the spring and allow them to kind of have a modified tour, but construction would not permit that to happen. So okay. There will be, and staff, the hope is, will be able to start moving into those rooms at the end of July. After that final inspection, really.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, Todd, Treasurer's report.
Okay, so for my report, I have a presentation, and it is up there for the, yep, okay, there it is. So this is just talking about some levy simulations, potentially, some routes we could potentially go. Potentially in November. The first slide there just is kind of a reminder, a rehash of things we've talked about a lot is with our current local funding and our current taxes, where that money goes. We have 3 different buckets, so to speak. We have our operating fund, which is what the levy in May and any future levy that we would be looking at is for that operating fund. Currently, that collects at 20.17 mils, so just right above that 20 mil floor, which is the state mandated minimum. The second bucket there is our bond fund. That's sitting at 5.85 mils. The bond fund is money that's being used to pay off the debt for when we built our existing school buildings. And then the third bucket is the Permanent Improvement Fund. That sits at 3.48 mils. Permanent Improvement Fund is used for maintaining our existing facilities, the bus fleet, the parking lots. Also, when we built our the stadium renovation, that was used, Permanent Improvement Funds were used. Also, whenever we talk about the local bucket, the three buckets, I also like to bring up our long-term plan, because, you know, you look at a levy right now and the potential of, you know, another levy in the future, it kind of gets a little overwhelming looking at trying to keep up. But one thing that we're able to do potentially is a no new millage levy in 2029. So those, all of our current debt would be paid off in 2029. Currently, that's, the bond fund is 5.85 mils. By the time we get to 29, that number may be a little different, but that would be millage that would be totally wiped off our books, which would be a tax savings. But at that point, if we continue to grow like we are, we will probably be needing a new building, at least one, potentially two by that time. So that would be one way to potentially fund a building and fund the staffing of that building, or at least help offset that without having to ask for such a large tax increase. So just part of the long-term plan. So these next slides are kind of showing some levy simulations, some potential options that we could do looking forward for a levy. I would point out that these are not all inclusive by any means. These are just some, I guess some of these are more informational. Some of them, I guess what I would say would be maybe the most logical. You could come up with a lot of other scenarios where you know, that I could certainly simulate for you. So, like I said, don't look at this as an all-inclusive list. The first option, I would kind of call it the do-nothing option. So this idea would be that we don't go for a levy. You know, we've got the cuts that, from the contingency plan that Diane just talked about, that we could keep those in place. So that means that savings would, you know, roll throughout the five-year forecast. We're also anticipating an increase in state funding that we did not expect when we did our first levy. So that right now we're estimating around $2 million. So if you kind of went with that idea and did nothing, this shows you what we'd be looking at. So again, our normal spreadsheet that we look at, the blue line shows revenues, the red line shows expenditures, the green line shows ending cash balance. So what you can, I guess, glean from this spreadsheet, it shows that, you know, one, if we did nothing, we would be looking at a cash deficit in fiscal year 27. In fiscal year 26, we would probably just barely meet our cash balance policy of having 1 month of expenditures as a cash balance. I think the main thing the other thing I would point out, I noted on here, is that to get that fiscal year 27 balance up to where we could meet that 1 month worth of expenditures would require an additional $4 million in cuts. So meaning the $2 million of cuts that we've made so far would stay in place, and then we'd need to cut an additional $4 million just to get that fiscal year 27 number up to around $6 million. And then also, you know, the whole idea of cuts, that's going to be something we're going to have to talk about, because then you would look at, you know, for instance, when do those cuts take place? So that's going to be a whole other conversation we're going to have. But one thing I think this slide really points out is the importance of line 6.01, which is that revenues versus expenditure line on the forecast, or just looking at that blue versus red line. So, you know, this do-nothing option shows that, you know, every year in the forecast shows expenditures exceeding revenues, which means that operating deficit is growing, which is what eats into that cash balance. And this shows the importance of, I guess, acting now to address this issue, because as you get out to the end of the forecast in fiscal year 26, there's an operating deficit of $10 million. Fiscal year 27, that goes up to, I think that was around $15 million in fiscal year 27. So you really can't look at that cash balance line and say, well, you know, let's just spend that down till we've got, you know, just a few million, and then we'll go go for a levy, well, you're looking at a deficit of $10 million in revenues versus expenditures. That's not something you can just fix in 1 year. So that this just kind of points to why we need to act sooner rather than later. Next slide, please.
Todd?
Yes.
On this slide, there's no provision for growth. Is that correct?
Growth in students?
Yes.
So that slide takes the existing forecast, which the existing forecast assumes 100 new students, which also means we're assuming 4 new teachers per year.
Okay.
So, yeah, you could tweak that to say, well, we're just not going to hire those 4 new teachers. It does make a difference, but it's not going to, you know, totally change what that forecast looks like.
Thank you.
Yep. So the next slides are going to assume that we would be going for a levy, whether it be November or future. And then I also want to point out that all of these simulations assume that we're going with that $2 million in state funding. So that number could change. If it changes significantly, then that could change the number. But if it's in that ballpark, then you know these would probably be you know, pretty viable numbers. These also all assume that the cuts that we've made so far due to that contingency plan would be reinstated. So that was a discussion we'd had at our work session and decided that, you know, the class sizes are something that we want to maintain where they were before, as well as some of the things that have been cut. And the other thing I wanted to point out is that you could make all sorts of different options. You know, you could say, well, let's cut some more, you know, let's cut all electives and go for a lower levy amount, or you could say let's wait longer, or, you know, whatever number you could be, but you've got to narrow it down and pick a target. So the target that I chose when looking at these simulations is a 5-year forecast where the last year of the forecast, that ending cash balance, meets at least one of our objectives, which is the 1 month worth of expenditures. So all of these simulations that you're going to see meet that one objective. So the other objective of the cash balance policy is revenues versus expenditures. None of these will meet that. So in order to meet revenues versus expenditures, we would have to go for an 8-mil levy in November, and then we would only meet that objective in 1 year. It would only meet at one time, and then it would go right back down to having an operating deficit. So just to put that in perspective. So the first option we're showing there would be a 5.5 mil property tax levy going on the ballot in November of 2023. And as I noted, at no point in this forecast, in this simulation, would revenues exceed expenditures, but we do get there, you know, somewhat close in a couple years. But that does get us to where fiscal year 27 has an ending cash balance around that $6 million mark, so we would be having that 1 month worth of expenditures. Based on current assumptions, we would be in a deficit the following year. But again, you know, you're getting out there in several years down the road to where, you know, things obviously will change. But as of now, that's what all of these would show, a deficit in fiscal year 28. Make sure I showed everything. And so really the looking at what these simulations do to get to that number, it's really looking at how much does this levy generate in this, whether it be a 4-year period or whatever is projected in the 5-year forecast. So we're in that $22 million range, $21, $22 million range of revenue generated in the forecast. You know, that's not necessarily looking at, well, what does this generate per year? It's looking at what gets us to that last year having a positive number. So this is the 5.5 mil. So the next slide would be with if we went with an income tax option. To hit that same target that we just talked about, we would have to go with a 0.75% income tax levy in November of 23. I would say November of 23 is likely our only opportunity to go for an income tax due to the timing it takes to get up to full collection. So if we were to say, let's wait until May of 24 to go for an income tax, we would have to go for a much larger income tax, which is probably not a viable option, or you would have to make significant cuts and then go for an income tax. So I would say November is really our only viable option to go for an income tax. And as I said, that 0.75 gets us to about the same spot that we would be with that 5.5 mil levy.
Can you just confirm how property tax collection and income tax collection is different?
Yeah, so it has to do with timing. So if we pass a property tax in November of 23, we would begin immediately collecting on that, or that the county auditor would be immediately collecting on that in January of 24. So we would basically begin full collections when we would get that in June, July of 24, and then get our full collection that year. Whereas with an income tax, it would be passed, but we would start collecting in 24, but we would only get a small amount of collections, and then it would start to get, it would take until fiscal year 26, I believe, before we would hit full collection. So because of that, that's why in that, like if you look at just the 2 or 3 year period, that income tax isn't generating as much, but then once it catches up, it actually would, and it would likely start to grow as well.
Quick question.
And that's, go ahead.
With the income tax option in fiscal year 26, it looks like the revenue flatlines or stays stagnant. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that and how, if we're growing 100 students per year, how that would?
So the forecast software we have just basically takes the numbers given to us by the Higher Department of Taxation and inputs that for an income tax. It's very likely that an income tax would grow. So that number would likely increase, would likely be higher than that. I think some districts that I know that have an income tax, they see around 3% income tax growth per year. Now that doesn't mean that's what we would see. And then there's also obviously the risk of an income tax decreasing, whether it be maybe a company goes out of town or just a economy starts to fail. But yeah, correct, that number would likely grow.
And really, and I just want to make the point that with that income tax, if it would pass in November, you'd have to wait until the end of 24 when people, or really the beginning of 25 when people are filing their taxes.
Correct.
That's really the reason for that delay.
Yep.
In the collection for the income tax.
I've got a question for you. What's it going to take to get the ending balance to not go into the negative in 27 on any of these?
In 27, this one shows not going in the negative. So in 27, this one shows we would have about a $6 million ending cash balance.
Right. But it's headed that direction. That's what's got me.
Yeah, so it's headed that direction in 28.
Okay.
So in 28, you would see a deficit with all of these options. So, in essence, you would, to avoid a deficit in 28, this would kind of goes to why we have that cash balance policy. So at some point, we would have to make a decision if things continue as they are. Would we need to pass an additional levy to avoid that deficit? Would we need to make more cuts? And again, you're talking something that's 5 years down the road. Do maybe some other things change in the forecast that allow us to, that deficit gets pushed out a year or who knows? Like I said, with an income tax, that number is going to grow. So that would maybe be one of our best bets to avoid that deficit with having a levy that would actually give us growth in revenues, whereas that 5.5 mil emergency levy, that number does not grow. That's a fixed sum levy that is stagnant.
And it basically goes down due to inflation.
Well, I guess if you look, the value of that money,
yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
I guess one other, I had asked Todd a question about the state funding because it's flat in here and just, we know this year, well, we don't know, but we're anticipating that they've made some changes and that are resulting in us getting more money and they're gradually trying to fully fund the Fair School Funding Plan. So I would think that would be one possibility if they continue on that trend. It could bring in additional money in the out years, but And that's a big if.
Just to clarify, so the previous slide and this slide does not have the assumption of the plus $2 million?
It does.
Or it does?
I think what Sue's pointing out, it has the $2 million, but it basically assumes $2 million flat across.
Thank you.
You know, I think there's, I would say because we're growing, there's a good chance it goes up. But the other thing you have to consider is that our 25% increase in property values is going to hit in fiscal year 25 for that funding formula. So that's going to be a negative factor from our funding standpoint. So not saying I think we're going to decrease, but that's going to could potentially offset some of the projected increase.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. Could you kind of review for everyone who pays a property tax and who pays an income tax? That's one question I continue to get. It's with an earned income tax.
Correct. So the property tax, I think pretty much everyone's aware that, you know, anybody that has owns property in the district is going to pay property tax. I know we've got a lot of questions about, well, what about renters? People that live in apartments. I mean, yes, they're not writing a check to the county auditor for their property tax, but the landlord, whoever owns that building, is paying property tax. And then in any businesses that are located in the district, they're also paying a property tax. With an income tax, it's different than the way that a city income tax works. So a school income tax is based on where you live. So anybody that lives in the district would pay that income tax. Businesses would not. It's just if the employee happens to live in the district, they would. If you live in Dublin and work in Marysville, then you would not pay a school district income tax. And then the numbers that I'm showing here are based on an earned income only income tax. So that means that senior citizens on fixed incomes or Social Security or pensions, they would not be paying income tax on that type of income.
And does that income tax influence our ability to get to the 20 mil floor?
Yes, and you're jumping ahead of me. I do
I'm
have
sorry.
That one in there. That's
then
okay.
I'll hold off on my question.
So the next slide, somebody brought up the idea of a combination levy. Go back one, James. Thank you. So this shows the idea of a combination of a 0.5% income tax and a two mil property tax, what's called a combination levy, because you would be collecting some from a property tax, you could go with a lower income tax and still get the same results as it comes to meeting that target number in fiscal year 27. Again, we still have that operating deficit throughout. Really, one of the downsides or drawbacks of this type is that 2 mil property tax, that part of that combination levy wouldn't grow, so that half percent income tax would be growing just like any other income tax, but the 2 mils would not grow, and that 2 mil levy would need to be renewed and or replaced at some point as well.
One question I have is for the combination. Are there two separate questions on the ballot, or is it one question?
It would be one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, next slide.
And just a quick question, but if it's an emergency property tax, it would not be considered as part of our collected millage. So the odds are that we would hit that 20 mil floor.
Correct.
And so we would stand to see some growth there.
Yes.
But not in the 2 mil.
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay, next slide, please. So this one would be if we went on the ballot in May of 24. Okay, so there's a couple ways to look at that. I guess the way I would look at this scenario is if we just said we're just going to wait. You know, this isn't saying we went on in November and failed, and then, you know, because if we went on and failed in November, then I think a May 24 levy, also there's going to be some cuts and those kinds of things. So this doesn't assume any additional cuts. It just assumes that we just said, let's not do November, let's wait until 2024. Because we're waiting, because that's an additional year of collection that we would have missed out on, this would mean that property tax would have to go up. So instead of 5.5, we would be looking at a 7.5 mil property tax. to get us to that same target in fiscal year 27. And the next slide basically takes that same scenario and says, well, what if we just wait until 2025? So if we waited until 2025, that millage would have to increase to 12 mills to, again, hit that same target that we were looking for in fiscal 27.
So this option is basically saying just use all the money you've got right now and don't, and just,
yeah, just let's just keep
just
on spending,
ask for a big chunk at the end. Yeah,
spend away our cash balance,
right,
until we got nothing left,
right,
and then ask for a huge levy to help. So
right,
not that one's more informational, I would say.
Right, not your recommendation at this
correct
point.
Correct. So the next slide I get into is just some comments, some pros and cons. Obviously, that projected increase in state funding allows us to ask for a lower levy. That's a big benefit. It's still not certain. We won't know until the end of June, early July. But because we've seen the Senate and the House version both showing an increase, I think we're pretty safe to expect a significant increase. It's very important that we keep the 20 mil floor as a factor in mind. This will help us to avoid a levy cycle, because hitting that 20 mil floor will allow us to see, somewhat growth each year. So would hopefully help us to avoid, having to be on the ballot every single 3 or 4 years, just time after time after time. This would allow us to have some growth. As I mentioned, an emergency levy does not grow. So that's one of the downsides of an emergency property tax. It's just a flat tax that we would receive, a flat revenue that we would receive each year. And also it would need to be renewed. As we mentioned, the income tax is very likely to grow, especially, not only because we're growing in population, because when new people move in, they would start paying that income tax, but also as the economy continues to do well, people continue, their income rises, then the revenues we receive would increase as well. And also an income tax could be done as a continuing levy, which would mean that we would not have to, reapprove it or have to renew it. And that also, again, would help us to avoid that levy cycle, and honestly would be the best bet of avoiding a levy cycle. So this is not a recommendation by any means, but just looking at it from a funding standpoint, and I think we've said this before, our finance committee has said it as well, from a funding standpoint, only the income tax is the most beneficial. As we mentioned, it doesn't impact the 20 mil floor. So, we would be able to hit the 20 mil floor from a property tax standpoint, which allows for some inflationary growth on revenues. We would have an income tax that also would grow as the economy grows. So again, helping us to avoid a levy cycle and not having to come back to our voters all the time. Annual revenue growth very likely based on population and income growth, avoid the levy cycle like I mentioned. And another big benefit of the income tax is it's not impacted by residential TIFs. So the people that gave us the feedback that we're not in favor of a property tax because the school is not going to be getting all of the money, some of it would be going to the city, the income tax would obviously take that out of the equation. So that is all I have, if there's any other questions.
Great, I really appreciate that. And like you said, I know, we had our special meeting June 6th where we decided that at this point, we feel like it's important to go on in November. I think these are great. It's nice to kind of have that range and then have that number in mind. And so once we get that state funding, we do have a special meeting already scheduled for July 17th. I know that, as soon as you got the go-ahead, we got simulations like a day later or something. So it'll be nice. We appreciate you getting that information to us. It gives us a little time to digest and ask questions ahead of the meeting too, so we can all be prepared. But so July 17th, we'll plan to come back together and have some more conversation. So the deadline is it the 28th or 29th of July?
I can't remember.
Yeah,
it's so one of the
end of July. Yeah, the end of July, we need to have something finalized. So we do have a time frame to stick to there. And I guess the other thing is just how important it is. I know we really try to encourage people to talk to us and share their thoughts with us and ask questions of either us or probably even better if they ask questions of Todd or Diane, just to get the most accurate information possible. But we do want to listen and hear what those thoughts and questions are. So, any other question?
I'm just curious. Maybe in the future, I don't expect an answer tonight, but I wonder for districts that have the similar rural suburban composition as ours, if they have an income tax, kind of getting that information. I've stated before that I like the idea of the income tax for multiple reasons, but I also want to know just how do other, I guess, I don't know if it's exempted villages, district, or just the same type of rural suburban composition, if they have an income tax and how does that work and grow for them in the future? I'd like to.
Locally, the ones that would compare most to us would be Lancaster, Pickerington, and Delaware. Buckeye Valley. I mean, which Buckeye Valley I think is not quite in that same group because I think it's more rural and more, it's changing actively, but when it passed, it would have been a lot more rural than we are. But I think Lancaster and Pickerington would be our best comparison districts.
No, I think I was looking at the one sheet of information that compared levy rates for like 30 different districts. And there were 9 that had income taxes out of 30. So, but that, I thought that was kind of helpful to look at that so you can go and, you know, see which districts those are. But. Okay. Any other questions for Todd? Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So let's see. For my report, first, I do want to point out when I said there was no High Point report, we are, I believe Mr. Cox is going to need to step down from that, from serving as our representative. So I have reached out to a couple of people to see, well, actually some people that served as our rep in the past, to see if they have some suggestions. If anyone else has any suggestion, please let me know. And then community conversation. We had a community conversation on June 7th at Dalton Union. They were not in business that night. It was merely a nice, comfortable place for people to meet and have some good discussion. And then we had a coffee this past Sunday. And how many, let's see, you had about 6 or 7 people that came?
7 at Dalton Union.
Okay, yeah, yep. Do you want to make any comments about that or what I'm just?
Actually, Jermaine did a nice summary.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't have my summary pulled up, yeah. I just thank the Dalton Winery for opening their space and reaching out to have that conversation. I know we received a lot of some phone calls. I've received phone calls from some community members asking why, based off some previous comments that were made, and I believe it's our job to reach out and have, you know, we serve the community at large, no matter what position they took on any ballot measure. And our job is to educate and reach across and you know, solve the community issue. And I think we had a very beneficial discussion. We had members of some of our booster leadership, some just residents out the community. And so we talked for 2 hours about all kinds of issues related to the upcoming levy. And thank you for those residents who came out.
Yep. And same thing, we had 3 people show up for the coffee on Sunday, but again, like every conversation I think is helpful for all of us just to hear what some of the concerns are and some people who are just new to the district and just wanted to have a better understanding of how things work and have actually just been thrilled with their experience over this past year. So that's always really nice to hear that. Let's see, we had our first of our end of year evaluations tonight of our treasurer, Todd. Diane will be doing hers in July, and as a board, we'll need to be doing our self-evaluation and review our work plan for next school year. So we'll most likely try and squeeze that in the end of July or early August. Like I said, we've got a special meeting on July 17th to continue our levy discussions, so it's going to be a busy summer. There was a chamber board meeting this morning. Just a couple reports there. As we all know, there's a lot of road work going on right now. The good news is the 4th Street work is supposed to be wrapping up the end of this month.
Woo-hoo. The bad news is, then they're going to start working on Elwood and then Maple Route 31 from the high school to Route 33, which I know we have been aware of that for a while. So for anybody listening out there, please be patient. I know that's going to have a big impact on busing. There was also a lot of discussion about housing and the importance of just sharing the idea that that as a community, we want to preserve our agricultural small town heritage while also recognizing that to prosper as a city, we do need to have some managed growth. So Tanya Mabry was there. She's with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And she just, I think, kind of similar to having that conversation out there at Dalton Union, she thought maybe that Friday nights uptown would be a great place to have information about housing. Maybe as a school district, we want to have some information there too. I don't know. But at the end of the day, as a community, we just really need to find our common ground and work together. I think that was the main gist of that conversation. So that's my report for tonight. We have a student achievement report, Ms. Savage.
We certainly do, and it's the end of the year, and that's kind of the time where the students have finished up testing, and we want to thank the students for all of their hard work in going through the Ohio State testing process. But it also ends generally on a high note, where a lot of the activities we have saved for the year take place the last couple weeks of school. So we had clap outs at all of the elementary schools, which is always a favorite experience of mine, where the parents come and clap as the fourth graders move out of the school for the final time. Also, we had the Bunsold tours of the high schools, so they get to tour the high school and determine whether they'd like to attend the traditional high school or the early college high school. And also Creekview comes to Bunsold and takes a look at what middle school looks like. So always a fun time for the students. We had a number of field days, extravaganzas. Seussical the musical was toured around the district to all the elementary schools. Rise showcases at Creekview, Pathway Fair at Bunsold, introducing different careers to seventh and eighth grade students. They had a chance to kind of spend a little time examining different careers, career paths. Graduation, of course, and just a call out that our students received $2.7 million in scholarships this year, so.
Thank you. Lots of great highlights for sure. Legislative report, Mr. Smith.
I over the last month have been really focused on House Bill 33. It was over in the Senate side of things. I provided some testimony to the Senate Finance Committee, and I've tried to stay in contact with Senator Reneke as the Senate was looking at that bill. I identified in my report to you some of the significant changes. Most of those didn't change today, because the Senate, about 5 minutes after I sent out this report, made a decision to alter some of the provisions. One thing, it looked like the Senate was going to keep the fair funding cost basis at 2022 figures. And the new one that just came out today seems to indicate, and I've just kind of glanced through it quickly, but it seems to indicate that they want to go to 2021, which would be less money. Their original plan that was being discussed was to move it to 2020. And so it's up from that, but down from the House, and we'll see where that kind of ends up. Bill will now go to a conference committee, because they send it to the House. If the House disagrees with any of the provisions, then it goes to a conference committee, and I would expect that there would be be disagreement on some of those things. I have a meeting with, and I didn't put that in the report, I'm meeting with Representative Richardson tomorrow morning to talk about where the legislature is in the House at this point. And over the last couple of days, I've had some meetings in preparation for the trip to Washington for a national conversation with our representatives and senators. I've provided you with my testimony to the Senate Finance Committee. Included in that at the end is information on the ESSER dollars, the federal dollars we received. One of the points of conversation is that schools are sitting on large amounts of federal dollars, and we've spent all of ours on remediation of kids. Any remaining funds that we have are scheduled to be consumed in trying to help kids catch up from the pandemic. And so the money is being spent very appropriately, and it is not allowing us any luxuries at this point. And then I included an email that I sent to Senator Renick just the other day as they were considering the changes that they approved today. So, and that's my report.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Smith? Okay. We have a safety and drug report.
No report tonight.
Okay. Let's see. Hi, we're now to the business section, so I would accept a motion to approve our draft minutes from our May 18th regular meeting, May 26th special meeting, and June 6th special
meeting. So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Any corrections, revisions, comments on the minutes? Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. I would now accept a motion to approve our approve the revised policies.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Yes, we had the first read last month. These are policies that are focused on college credit plus and military students, and then dyslexia supports. Did you have comments? No question?
I just wanted to comment about that College Credit Plus program was introduced maybe 5 years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's a state program, correct? And it allows for students to take college credit classes while in high school after they finish their high school requirements. And this year, I think there were 12 students that received their two-year associate's degree 1 week before their high school diplomas. But in total, I'd say there's 50 or so kids that have done that.
Yes. I mean, since we started the early college, we saw a drop like everyone did in college enrollment during COVID. But I'd have to go back and look at records. I wasn't ready for that question.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just wanted to point out that it's been a very successful program and that we have implemented it very successfully. And it does allow students, it takes particular drive and motivation to do it, but it allows them to get 2 years of college paid for by the local school district.
Yeah, and to your point, even students who do not get their associate's degree, I think this year it was well over 3,000 college credits that were earned by our high school students. So even starting with a leg up in college is a significant advantage.
Yep. I know we've heard, you go to several graduation parties, and if you see alumni, some of them are there a year ahead or, maybe a semester. But as parents who have had kids in college, we know what a benefit that is. So, yeah, great program. Any other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Kett?
Yes.
Ms. Fine?
Yes, motion carries. I now accept a motion to approve the fiscal year 2024 permanent appropriations.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Kett.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Questions, comments? I know we asked an awful lot before the meeting.
Do you want to make some comments, Todd? I would just point out.
Sure,
one
yeah.
Is that these appropriations for the general fund in particular, they assume that the they do not include bringing back the contingency plan cuts. So if we were to pass a levy in November and bring back those cuts, then we would need to amend the appropriations at that time. And then I would just also note in total, the appropriations are lower than they were last year. The biggest driver for that is the permanent improvement fund, with those renovations being spent in this current year.
Any questions now? Nope. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Kett?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Next, I would accept a motion to approve the 2023-2024 Calamity Day Alternative Makeup Plan Resolution.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Do you want to make any comments, Diane? Yeah, I mean, this is something we've done. It's required. We need to approve this resolution.
Correct, in order to limit the amount of calamity days that are charged against the district. So traditionally, we have used this for calamity day 4, 5, and 6 to provide online content for kids.
Okay, and I don't think there were any changes from the past in this at all, so.
No, ma'am.
Right, okay. Another comment? Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. I now accept a motion to approve the treasure items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck. Todd.
No real surprises in the cash flow, so nothing to point out there unless you have any questions. For the appropriations, a couple items, like I mentioned last month, general fund, I'm asking for an increase there, not because we anticipate going over, but we want to have a little bit of cushion just in case. As you might remember, when we did the appropriations originally back in June of last year, we did not have SROs, elementary SROs in there. We didn't have the new preschool classrooms that we've added. So, you know, those things have brought the number up. We've saved money in other areas that brought the number down. So we were really, looked at my cash flow at this moment, we would just be right there with about a $30,000 of cushion, but that's not a lot of cushion. So this just gives us a little bit of leeway. And then in the self-insurance fund, that was the same scenario where if we had good claims in June, we would probably be okay, but I would rather have a little bit of cushion just in case we have some bad weeks. We were looking pretty good, and then just last week it was a bad week, so we'll probably need at least a portion of that number.
Any questions or comments?
I see that there's the NEX donation. It's a grant, I'm assuming. Is that for a specific program?
Yeah, so the NEX grant or donation is because we saw a large influx of, and I always say this wrong, EL students, so English learner students who basically are, English isn't their first language, and a portion of that was because of NEX bringing in workers from another area to Marysville. So we reached out to them and said, hey, you know, we're seeing this influx of students. And so they, you know, graciously gave us that donation to help staff with some aids and things so that we could help educate those students.
I'm very appreciative of their cooperation. And my second question is preschool classes. I think we've talked about this before, but when we, for preschool, is there additional revenues that help supplement or cover completely, or what's the revenue side look like for preschool?
So preschool, we don't get a lot. We will get some additional funding. So there's a couple different streams of money we get. One, we get a federal grant for preschool students. That number, like this year, was only about $16,000. So, you know, really just a drop in the bucket. I would anticipate that number would go up a little bit next year based on a higher enrollment. And then we also get a little bit of preschool transportation funding from the state. And again, I would anticipate that number would go up a little bit as well. But unfortunately, we're not, you know, dollar for dollar.
Thank you.
Great. Any other questions?
I just wanted to go over the SROs and safety grant. We received safety grant money to cover SROs, but I believe that's a limited grant. Is that correct?
We did not, I'll go two directions here. So one, we did not receive a grant for SROs. So the safety grants we received that are in like our Fund 499, those cannot be used for SROs.
Okay.
Now there has been discussion with the state budget of potentially SRO funding being included in foundation funding going forward. But that hasn't happened yet, and there's still discussion of what that might look like. So, but I think what you're probably talking about is those safety grants we have. We can't use that for SROs, but we're using that to improve the safety of our buildings.
Okay. And just as a reminder that the SRO, the cost of the SRO is split, correct,
with 50-50.
50-50 with the city.
Yep.
So, and we have eight or nine officers now in the district, I believe.
We have one in every city building.
Okay.
We have a high presence out at Raymond, but that's not a full time yet because they haven't staffed their
that's
positions.
The sheriff covers them out there at Raymond.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions?
The only other caveat I would ask is our percentage of that agreement was more expensive year one.
Right.
I think it went up to 65% on our end year one because the city was recognizing increased costs with cars and equipment. And so we agreed to pay a little more year one, and then it'll go back to 50-50 every year after.
Thank you.
Great. Good partnership.
I just wanted to recognize America Honda for the robotics donation, $25,000.
Yeah, that is wonderful.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. Now accept a motion to approve the HR action items from the superintendent.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Mr. Keck.
Just say we have lots of additions. Like I said, even some at the last minute here this afternoon, we were able to make some offers. We have had lots of shifts and even continued to have that this after or earlier this week with a resignation. You're going to see summer school and extended school year service. Extended school year service is a requirement for some of our special needs students to receive education throughout the summer months. Summer school, we have four students who are at risk of retention for the third grade reading guarantee who are getting intervention. And then we are also running high school summer school for remediation as well as credit recovery. The credit recovery courses are a charge to families. We also have two administrators. As you know, we've been looking for some time for a transportation director. So Zach is on the agenda. Q-Tub comes from Finley and is an experienced transportation director. And as well, we have Raymond Principal, who I informally introduced before the meeting. Erica, pending your approval.
Great. Any questions or comments?
I'd like to welcome Erica to Marysville Schools.
Okay. We'll do a roll call and then we can officially, right? Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. How about a round of applause for our new principal out there? We look forward to seeing you next fall. We like to make some building visits two times a year and try not to be too distracting, but we just like to come out and say hi and see what's happening out there. So welcome to Marysville.
I would mention that Erica was a trooper and came to admin retreat as well.
Oh,
so spent days learning and maybe a little information overload sometimes, but it was good.
That is great. Thank you. Okay, next I would accept a motion to approve the superintendent, other superintendent action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments? Nope, okay. Just a lot of overnight
trips.
Yep. One early graduate, one field placement. It's nice to see all these opportunities for students, really. I mean, I love it. Yeah.
Just a point of clarification. We went through all these, and a different organization is sponsoring the overnight trips, transportation. So that's just, if you see this on the agenda, you wonder the contingency plan. These are all sponsored by booster clubs or...
Right. Correct. Yep. And we also told booster clubs that it August 1st started that plan. So they had the leeway because of the heavy lift with what they were going to have to do for the year that field trip would go into effect August 1st.
Okay.
So most of these, as you look at them, there's a sheet and it tells you who has to pay and what that money goes towards.
Right.
But again, still providing opportunities despite everything.
Oh, yeah, right, which is wonderful. You learn so much when you take these trips. So any other questions or comments? Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries. Now to the comments and questions from board members. I'll start with you, Mr. Smith.
I want to... welcome our new principal, and hope you have a fantastic year. Our graduation, I thought, was a fantastic event. The Impact Stadium setting is wonderful for parents and relatives and friends to come and celebrate in that moment. I thought all the people that were involved in the organization did a marvelous job this year. It was an exciting end. Looking through the building reports, everybody was doing fun events to finish the year and doing all sorts of student recognition for accomplishments during the course of the year. And I know that with the admin retreat, that the work is already in progress for next year. So looking forward to it.
Thank you. Mr. Keck?
Well, as usual, I don't have a whole lot, but I will say graduation was spectacular. I can't believe the number of community people that were there. I've never seen the stadium quite that full for our graduation, and that was pretty special. Also, I would like to thank formally Dick for his work at working on the legislative side of things. I think that's very valuable to us and a lot of work. So, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Savage.
I wanted to say thank you, Todd, specifically for the simulations information and the kind of endless stream of questions that I think have been coming your way over the last several months, but in particular in the last month or so. We really appreciate your quick professional responses, and welcome Erica to the Marysville. We're very happy to have you here.
Thank you. Mr. Ferguson.
Yes, I just want to thank everyone, the members of the community have engaged with the board members, Todd and Diane. I just want to reiterate that, you know, some say all the schools are asking for money, but it's a community problem. We need a community solution, which we need community input and support. And so as we navigate, please review the various simulations that were presented tonight, review that information, because this is the time to tell us what you want and what direction you want this board to go. This is the time, because once July we make a decision, then it's you know, it's a different conversation. This is the time to influence that. And so thank you, Todd, for all the and Diane, for all your time educating members of the community and kind of walking us through various simulations tonight. And I believe they're going to be very beneficial. Last night, I just want to share, I went to Buckeye Boys State and Miami University, and Buckeye Boys State is a state American Legion program that is it's local government on display for a whole week. And so last night was the inaugural for their elections, and the Ohio Supreme Court Chief Justice Kennedy sworn in all the governor and all the members that were elected to their offices, and our Secretary of State Frank LaRose gave us a speech about civics and leadership. And so it was a really good night to see over 700 boys all kind of focused on learning government in action. So I didn't get a list of names of anyone from Marysville specifically, but I know there are a couple, just don't know their names. But that was something to next year, if you're a junior in your junior year, that's the time if you're interested. I know a lot of individuals who went to the Service Academy or other just leaders in our community have, elected leaders have that credential on their resume. So just wanted to highlight that program from a state level. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Mr. Johnson?
Nothing.
Okay. Bye.
Just officially, congratulations, Erica. And I just wanted to give one final shout out to graduation. Agree, it was fantastic, and wanted to thank Vera for the countless hours she spends organizing. Those will be hard shoes to fill.
Definitely. It was a great event. I just also want to thank Todd. You know, I think as we look through all of those simulations, the idea of delaying to me is just way too risky. And like you said, Jermaine, just continue to encourage people to reach out to us. You know, once we find out what the state funding is going to be, it's going to help provide some clarity, but we want input from students, parents, staff, community members, businesses, everybody. And then I also just wanted to make a few comments about Todd, since we did have our end of year evaluation. You know, you hear all of these comments from us who get to work with him on a, you know, pretty regular basis. But I just appreciate all the information you share with the board, with anybody who asks questions. Wanted to thank you for your leadership that you provide in the fiscal department. You know, especially the last 6 months, we've been so focused on the impact of the levy and work in that direction, but throughout the year, your department does an amazing job empowering our staff and encouraging buildings to take ownership of their budgets and have a good understanding of that. You've worked hard to cross-train in your department. We're just so fortunate. And I think I was looking back, and in December, it will mark 10 years that you have served our district. And I think about all of the creative ways that you have found to stretch our dollars while still offering new programs, maintaining and improving our facilities without asking for new local tax dollars. You've also, you know, like I said, you focused on building a strong team in the fiscal department. So as we look to the future and growing enrollment, your leadership and financial expertise is going to be more important than ever. And I just feel like we're blessed to have you here. So thank you. And with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Second. Smith and second by Mr. Keck. Roll call, please.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Keck?
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. We're adjourned at 7:08. Thank you.